doesn't get any better than this.
A couple of beer leaguers
with outrageous flow.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been to the casino since I got kicked out.
You gotta get that fixed.
We're gonna bet so many overs.
You're listening to the Hockey Dudes.
Soy Dudes. We are back, and we, as in just me, you got an all Hayden episode, but I mean, I don't really want to hear any of you complain right now, because I think the last episode that I did of this podcast was back in November, which is pretty pathetic. So that's where we're at. And I think if anybody's been following this podcast, we pretty much perform the same way the Jackets do. Where if the Jackets are playing well, we're gonna bandwagon, we're gonna talk about them, we're gonna love it, we're gonna be knocking episodes out every single week. When the Jackets stink, there's just nothing to talk. There's just not much to talk about, and that's not what it is. Of course, the Jackets have sucked. They sucked last year, and we were able to give out episodes. It's just certain circumstances in life have been the main excuse there. So that out of the way, here we are. Here we are, February 6th, and the Jackets are in their long 9-day break now. Guys are getting a chance to get away from the game a little bit, getting a chance to kind of relax, figure out what's going on, what has happened, because right now this team currently, with 31 games left to play, is last place in the Metropolitan Division. Where are they at in the conference? Oh, last place in the conference. In the East. Where are they at in the league? You ask, last place in the league. Technically tied with the Chicago Blackhawks at 34 points. But the Chicago Blackhawks have three games in hand there. So that's just phenomenal. It's been bad. It hasn't been fun. And I look back at this season so far and ask myself, where did I check out? Hayden, where did you check out? Because there had to be a point when you realize this team's not, they're not going anywhere. And I'll answer that question. It was Tuesday, October 25th. And maybe some of you were in the barn this night. Maybe some of you weren't. The Jackets lost 6-3 to the Yotes at home. The Yotes. And at that time, I will hand up, admit that there was a part of me that kind of believed, oh, are the Yotes good this year, maybe? But no, it wasn't. The Yotes are, you know, four spots from the bottom in the league. I guess that is a good year for the Yotes. Anytime the Yotes aren't dead last in the NHL, it's a good year for the Yotes. No offense to our friend Carl Pavlock, who has came on this podcast the last couple of years previewing early season Yotes versus Coats games. Jackets still need to go play the Yotes so we can go, you know, take revenge there. In fact, that's coming up Sunday, February 19th, playing at Mullet Arena. But again, we're at a point now where I'm not looking ahead at the future schedule. I'm not crunching the numbers on what can the Jackets do to make the playoffs. There's no reason to do that. There hasn't been a reason to do that all year. It's been brutal. I will say the Jackets, I think, are better than the last place team in the league, even as they sit. There's no way that Johnny Gaudreau could be playing on any team and they'd be last in the league talent-wise. I think they're better than the Blackhawks. I think they're better than the Ducks. And I do think they're better than the Yotes. Does the standings reflect that? No, of course not. I even think they're better than the Sharks and the Canucks. Although I think we lost to the Canucks. Yeah, we got smoked by the Canucks. Okay, better than the Sharks. And the reason why they've been displaced to last place in the league is because of the division they play in. It's just been absolutely brutal. They've been getting beaten up. The Metropolitan is still the toughest division in hockey. I don't care what anybody says. If you just take one glance at the standing situation, again, another year where it looks like we'll probably get five teams out of the Metro into the freaking playoffs, and not one of them is the Jackets. That's brutal, because those five teams are very good, and then those five teams are the Canes, Devils, Rangers, Caps, Penguins. They've all been phenomenal this year, and there's other teams that have been pretty good. The Islanders have been pretty solid. That's it out of the Metro. Flyers, Jackets, been terrible, been garbage, and I have some takes on the Flyers too. Been watching them, and and how John Tortorella's first season has kind of unraveled a little bit here, slightly. And I actually, special guest, Trevor Harris from the Upper Bowl podcast. Well, I actually joined his podcast, but I'll play that for you. Just what we talked about going into the NHL All-Star weekend. And I also gave out a couple futures that I liked for the NHL. And, you know, because gambling's legal in Ohio, and I've been enjoying that. And as you heard in the intro, we're going to bet so many overs. The overs were very lucrative for the Jackets early on in the season, right? You know, those 4-3, 5-3, 5-3, 4-3 games were just awesome because they were paying out. But at the turn of the new year, it's just not been as many overs, which is okay. We don't need as many overs, but still, I think the overs are hitting at an unbelievable clip. Again, the over-under is usually at 6.5. I don't think I've ever seen it above that this year. But, yeah, I think it's pretty much been 6.5 every single game they've been in. That Oilers game, oh, nope, that Oilers game, it was actually at 7. Doesn't matter, it was a 3-2 loss, or 3-2 win, excuse me, in overtime. So that was fantastic. I actually had Jackets money line that night. I don't know why. I just was like, Evander Kane's out, and I'm just going to take the Coats money line because they got to win at some point. And if I'm being realistic about it, the Jackets have won 2 of their last 5. Which is pretty damn good for the 2 of their last 6. Excuse me, I got a little too excited there. The Jackets have won 2 of their last 6, so which is pretty damn good for the Jackets, and a lot better than some of the other teams in town right now because it's just been bad on the basketball side. I mean, I've personally just been living on a park bench trying to bet on Ohio State basketball. Hayden, why have you been betting on Ohio State basketball? Well, because I'm an idiot. That's why. That's the only answer to that question, and I'll just leave it at that. But no, it's sad times around town right now. There's no doubt about it. But as I look ahead to the future of this Jackets team, because it's not over, there will be a new season. There will be a Stanley Cup champion this year. It won't be the Jackets. But next year, the Jackets can try to be the 2024, let's have the Jackets in the Stanley Cup final. Let's make it happen. Why not? Why not us? I've never really done this before. I've never really just sat here and just told the Jackets, go to the Stanley Cup final. I don't even want you to win it. I just want you to go to the final next year in 2024. Let's make it happen. Why not us? And here's how it's going to get done. It's going to get done with, I don't know who the goalie is going to be, so I don't know how that's going to get done. I can tell you that Johnny Gaudreau is going to be a huge influential piece. I can tell you Patrick Laine is going to be a big influential piece. I can tell you Boone Jenner is going to be a huge influential piece. And as much as people sit here and say, oh, people sit here, people don't sit here and say, people sit up in Toronto and say, oh, man, Boone Jenner, he's the hottest name in the trade market. What are the Leafs going to do to get him? Hey, we are not your farm team, Toronto. You can't just pick and choose players that we love and hold dear to our chest and just pry them from our hands like you did Nick Foligno. You can't just, whoever we name captain isn't, the captaincy spot for the Blue Jackets is not next to be Toronto Maple Leaf spot, okay? So get that out of your head, any Maple Leafs fan that's listening to that. That's not the case. You don't get to just come and just pick some players that are playing well. And Boone Jenner, he's playing good. He's playing all right. 26 points in 40 games. It's not Stanley Cup number one center winning stats, and the Jackets are still looking for that guy. They keep wheeling out Jack Roslovic out there, trying to get him going. Dude scored 4 goals in 48 games. He's not necessarily lighting the lamp. He's -8 on the year, which ironically is not even as bad as some of the other star players. I'm not grouping him in the star players, but Gaudreau, -16, Laine, -10, Boone Jenner, just mentioned him, -11. So that's not all of that has been fun, but yeah, we're still searching for our C1. Ken Johnson, he's looked good. He's shown some skill, 24 points in 48 games in his rookie season on a bad team. I can work with something there. I can possibly see him one day developing into a C1, and I still believe that. And I want the Blue Jackets to do whatever they can to continue to develop him that way. And as far as that goes, that's all good and dandy. As far as the D-line goes, we know that, I mean, having Zach Werenski out all year, I think we've quickly realized how much we need Zach Werenski on the ice, right? I remember this conversation was going on around this time last year where I was getting an argument with CBJ haters about Zach Werenski and is he relevant? And he is, because when he's not on the team, the Jackets are last place in the league, and he's been out since frickin' November or October, whenever he went out, and it's been brutal, obviously. There's no doubt about it. We need him. Another guy that the Jackets desperately need in the lineup is Nick Blankenberg. Listen, did I think that Nick Blankenberg, when he joined the Blue Jackets, was going to be a cornerstone foundational piece that you need to make sure that he sticks around for a while? No, I did not think that. But he is that. He's that good, because he was a part of the reason why the Jackets were winning games. And they weren't winning a lot of games early on in the year, but they were winning some games. And then when he went out with his injury, they were just devastatingly bad. And that's when they went on their terrible streaks of not getting any points for games and not scoring any goals. This guy is a huge part of not only the defense but the offense, and I don't care where we drafted him. We didn't draft him, first of all. We just signed him. We just took him on the same time that we took on Kent Johnson and said, yeah, let's roll with this guy. Kent was like, hey, you know, this roommate that I was living with in Michigan, he's a pretty cool guy. You might want to sign him. He's pretty decent. Here's his highlight tape. Oh, yeah, this guy is pretty good. Yeah, no, you said nobody wants him? Yeah, we'll take him. So that's what happened. And he's good. He is very good, despite his size, which is probably why he got overlooked. And 5'9", I mean, I'm not going to hate on any 5'9 guys, if you know what I mean. If the people that know me personally, I would never hate on a 5'9 guy. But he's a little water bug out there. He's absolutely electric. He's got a good shot. And, yeah, I think we need him back. No, I don't think we need him back. I know we need him back, and I know he's going to be a huge part of the future. And outside of that, it's just kind of like, what else do you have? And it's really not much else, because I'm not really liking what I'm seeing from anybody else, except for Kirill Marchenko. Almost caught myself there. That guy is amazing at hockey, and I'm just going to say that. He's amazing at hockey. So three guys are tied on the team for our goal leaders. Gaudreau, Laine, and Jenner all have 14 goals. Kirill Marchenko has 13 goals, and he's played half the games, or a little less than half the game, a little more. I can't even talk. That's why I don't do podcasts, people, because I can't even talk. He has played 28 games. Jenner's played 40. Laine's played 36. Gaudreau's played 51. So Marchenko's been absolutely electric, and he will continue to be electric. And he will continue to score goals for the Jackets, because that's the kind of hockey player he is. He has shown a whole hell of a lot of flash on the ice at that left wing spot. And I think he could be a very deadly weapon in the NHL. And he's just a charming guy. Like, the guy speaks negative English, and I like it that way. I don't want him to learn a single ounce of English. Well, I do want him to learn a little bit of English, and I'm sure he will. He seems like a smart guy and all. Actually, I don't know how smart he is at all. I just know he's really freaking good at hockey, and he's got a really good shot. He's got a really good sense of you know, putting the puck in the basket, and that's all that matters. The Jackets need pure goal scorers. We thought Laine was going to be this pure goal scorer that was going to, you know, be up for the Rocket Richard every single year. Well, okay. When he is the one guy on the team that can score, it makes it a little bit harder for him to be up for that. I do believe that Laine on any other team is good enough to be up for those kinds of things. But when he is the only guy on the ice that can be a threat to score, then it's easy to lock him down. And that's what's been happening. He's just simply been locked down. And Kirill Marchenko has kind of will open that up for him, because he's another guy that will add some offense to the winger on the other side of the ice for him. Should be good. Now, granted, I don't know what the combination of dudes needs to be, whether those guys need to be on the same line or not. I don't know. I don't give a damn. That's not my problem. Okay, that's Brad Larson's problem. And it's funny that we haven't done a podcast in 2 months, because the last podcast, I think, that was titled, or the last podcast that we did in general, was just me ranting about how I think Brad Larson, it's probably time for him to go. And now I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, clearly he's not going because he's still here. He's still coaching the team, which is fine. I like the guy. And he got a, you know, resounding endorsement from Torts when Torts was in Columbus for the Flyers playing in Columbus for the first time. He said, you don't need to go looking for a new coach. You have the guy. And granted, you know, that coming from a guy who was a mentor to the guy and a guy who now coaches a rival team in the division, it doesn't really hold any weight for me at all, but yet I'm going to say it. Okay, so I'm just going to say it. That's the only thing positive I have about Brad Larsen. Other than that, it hasn't really shown me much. He's other than him being a nice guy and Tommy seeing him in public every now and then and saying he seems like a nice guy. That's pretty much all I can say about him. Now, the Jackets feel a lot like what the Red Wings were at with the last couple years, and I am a little worried that Brad Larsen just becomes the Blue Jackets version of Jeff Blashill, and I would be very severely disappointed if that's how his tenure resulted. But, you know, it's on him. It really is. It's on him, and part of me wants to sit here and think that if the team is competitive next year, then he's going to have a short leash. I don't know. I don't really know, to be completely honest. I thought he would be fired by now, straight up. I just thought, oh, we have Johnny Gaudreau. We should be competing for a playoff spot. That is not the case at all. It's been tank for Bedard. And I think when I look at the whole tanking for Bedard situation, I don't think there's a single chance that we get that guy. And if the only reason I say that is because the Jackets have so many other top prospects that are also putting up big numbers in the same league that he's playing in. So what makes you think that there's any chance that we get him? I don't know. I mean, and is he even going to be that good? I also don't know. I don't know. There's been so many guys that have looked really, really solid in juniors and then not made the transition to the NHL. So I don't know if Connor Bedard's going to be that sweet or not. I do know that the Jackets have two guys that play very similar to him in terms of the production that they're putting up in the same league, and Stanislav Svojil. Wow. Holy, I have not done a hockey podcast in a while. Stanislav Svojil and Denton Mateychuk, both those guys are putting up similar numbers in the assist category as him. So I'll take that. And again, Denton Mateychuk's a guy that you look at where he'll be able to add to the blue line here. And when will he add to the blue line? I don't know. I mean, we got David Yurecek, who's been in and out of the lineup at times in Cleveland. I'd like to see him get some action in the Blue Jackets lineup soon. And yeah, there's plenty of prospects, plenty of guys. It's just a matter of, can we get through this awkward transition right now where the Jackets suck and the Jackets just need to get a little bit more experience? And they need to get experience fast because Johnny Gaudreau is not getting any younger. And we have him for a 7-year deal. But if the Jackets don't start playing some better hockey, he might want out, you know? And that would be just a terrible situation. It would be a very familiar situation for Blue Jackets fans. We've had plenty of players that have wanted out. But that's just where we sit. That's where we are right now. It's devastating. I know. It's not fun. It hasn't been fun for a while. But I think there's a chance that we can get things going again just in the future. But for right now, it's just bad. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Defense needs to get better. Goaltending needs to be better. I mean, if you have Martin Brodeur on this team, I think the Jackets would be a playoff team. I'll say that confidently. You need peak Martin Brodeur. You need like early 2000s Martin Brodeur, and you'd be fine. So yeah, there's that. But all right, going to take a little break. When we come back, I joined the Upper Bowl podcast with my good friend Trevor Harris, and we talked a lot about hockey, talked a little bit about the All-Star game, a little bit about where the Jackets are at, a little bit about where the Flyers are at, and just where the future of the league is heading, some more stuff around the league, and I even gave out some futures. So we'll hit all that next. This is the Hockey Dudes.
Bottle Rockets and Sellies Forever. Welcome back to the Hockey Dudes.
We are back, and as I mentioned moments ago, I was going to play a little bit of the interview I did with Trevor Harris from the Upper Bowl podcast, and I did do a little listen of it. I sound stupid, and I also sound tired, and that's because, give me some grace, we recorded at 10 in the morning, and I didn't have to be up for anything that day. That was actually my day off, so I was very tired. So just take that in mind. And I also, but it sounds great though, as huge. So yeah, without further ado, Trevor Harris and me
to another city and franchise and a friend of the program, Hayden. He is a Blue Jackets fan. You can hear him on 97.1 the Fan in Columbus, Ohio. He is a Blue Jacket fan, and they're pretty much dead as well, since they are dead last in the NHL, and tank for Bedard is coming too. Yeah, let's go to Hayden Helshorn. Whoosh. Welcome to the conversation part of the Upper Bowl podcast. We have recurring guests of the program. You can hear him on 97.1 the Fan in Columbus, Ohio. He's the number one fill-in guy for producer-wise out there for doing Columbus Sports Talk Radio. It is the NHL All-Star break, so we might as well bring back Hayden on. Hayden, how are we doing, and what do you think of the season? I think the season sucks anyways.
Yeah, no, the season's been pretty much dominated by a few teams out east, mostly Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And the big dogs. I mean, the Atlantic Division. I was looking at it last night. Three of the top six teams in the NHL are from one division.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy to think about that. It makes you really look hard at the NHL futures and think about which team's going to end up winning this thing. But there's that. There's a lot of teams that can win this thing. So for that reason, the season's still exciting. But yeah, I mean, the Jackets have sucked, so I haven't been as invested as I usually am. And Flyers have kind of not been great, so you haven't been invested.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I've only watched three games this whole year, by the way.
That's probably good because, yeah, they've been not putting anything worth watching on television.
Yeah.
So
I think I told this to Jordy, who's on the podcast this week as well. The Flyer fans need to do what Dodger fans did with Frank McCourt. They need to start protesting outside of games and not show up to any of these games at all. That's what they need to do.
Right. Like, right. Frank. Yeah. You guys need to flip it back on Comcast, and like, you need to be the media company. You need to take over. You need to be the media.
I know it needs to have it. It's such a joke. I love hockey. Right now, it's just like the Flyers are bad. The Panthers are not entertaining at all. Since Paul Maurice is just a bleeping idiot, honestly, he just ruined fun hockey down here to watch. It was just like okay, the Flyers are Flyers are bad, and Paul Maurice is the worst head coach we have ever seen. Just ruined the fun of a hockey team down here. The games have been whatever. It's just been a complete utter shit show of the second year of TNT and ESPN, and the hockey viewership's down as well. They're not putting any good games on it, so it's like hard for me to get invested in the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it's still exciting because, you know, the star players are still being star players. You know,
yeah.
I guess, you know, that's nothing new. But yeah, there hasn't been as much. There just never is as much juice when your personal teams aren't doing as well. But outside of that, I feel like there's been a lot of players that have also stepped into the starlight this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tage Thompson up in Buffalo.
Yes.
He's been pretty amazing. So that's been kind of interesting to watch.
I will say that I've watched a few Buffalo games this year. I'm going to be honest with you. Because if Tage Thompson, like, if they're on national TV, I'll throw a watch on.
Like, yeah.
I watch that utter Tage Thompson show versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm sorry to say that was that was the greatest game I've seen all year.
It was great. I had over 6.5 goals in that game, and there were 6 goals in the first period. So I was just content with that.
Did you live bet it right after that?
No, I just had it before the game, so it was good.
You should have, when you got cashed out, you should have live bet it against.
Live bet it, yeah.
Yeah. Which is always dangerous.
Well, I was like, knowing my luck, this game could have 0 goals in the second and third period, so just get the first win first.
Yeah, get the first one, then figure out the live one. I will say this. I think Tage Thompson has been the star of the season so far. locally down in South Florida, it's been Matthew Tkachuk. We could say that Panthers won that trade, right? Are you in the minority of every other Florida sports fan down here who hates the trade still? That if they kept Hubler and Uyghur, they would still be in the playoffs.
I think that's probably fair to say. But I don't know. Yeah, that trade was really head scratching when it happened, because you got Matthew Tkachuk, but you also got rid of Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Uyghur. And mm-hmm. Huberdeau was arguably just as good of a player as Tkachuk. And we know Tkachuk is kind of like a guy who's, I guess he's more of a, I don't want to say flamboyant, he's more of an out there hockey player.
Can I say a lightning rod?
Yeah, he's a lightning rod. Yeah, he gets in the mix. You know, he'll push guys around. He's great for the Florida rivalry because he was obviously very energetic in the Alberta rivalry. So, yep. You know, you got more of an exciting player for sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a better player. If that makes sense.
I see your point. I was going by it. People had this debate with me. Would you pay that 7-year deal or 8-year deal that Huber wants? It's like, no, he's turning 30. I don't trust an 8-year deal for a 30-year-old, if you know what I mean.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of those 7-year, 8-year deals just blow up in your face. And then everyone will be just absolutely miserable and everyone will turn on him so quickly.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I understand that. But I mean, look at them now. They're not in the playoffs. I mean, neither are the, I believe the Flames are just on the outside.
The Flames are tied with points right now of Colorado for the second wild card, and the Panthers are literally 3 points out for the final.
By the way, this is just professional gamble. Well, not professional. This is just some gambling advice.
Yes.
The Colorado Avalanche are 7.5 to 1 to win the Stanley Cup right now, and I just feel like the fact that they're literally in a playoff spot and they haven't had any resemblance of their full-time team play this year, seems like just something to look out for. I don't know. Seems like a good idea to have +750 on a team going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, just for anybody that's out there that is a fan of a team that won't be making the playoffs.
Throw you a 20?
Sure, yeah. What are you going to say, the Rangers?
No, I was going to throw you a 20 for that abs one right now, actually. Let me throw you a 20.
Okay. 20 bucks, yeah.
Yeah, I'll throw you 20. That's fine.
I thought you were going to say a 20-1 because I was looking at them last night.
Do you trust the Rangers? Because somehow I just don't have a feel for the Rangers at all.
No, I never trust the Rangers. I mean, they're probably good enough to win it this year. It's just sometimes when I think about that team, I just remember how not that Artemi Panarin mailed it in, mm-hmm. but after they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, it was like, okay, yeah, that was our Stanley Cup as like the Columbus Blue Jackets
mm-hmm.
franchise. And for that, I think Artemi Panarin can take a team to any heights they want to go to. I just don't know if he wants to do it. I mean, I'm sure he wants to do it, but you know, well, we don't know because we've never played, but
no.
Based off what I see on TV, whenever I'm watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, the margin of error, you know, the difference between a player who wants it really bad and the player that wants it the most mm-hmm. can be telling. And I just think that the Rangers are just not built to go and win 4 games against 4 teams in the spring when they could be, you know, on vacation or something. They just come across as that kind of a team to me, so I just don't want to bet on them.
I just don't trust their. I it's always whoever they face off, really. Like, I don't know what the playoffs will look like right now, but honestly, I just don't trust the Rangers. I feel like it'll probably play like the Penguins or someone stupid, you know, in the first round usually. Then that's just a complete.
Yeah, I think they'll be second round exits this year. I think they're good enough to beat whoever they play in the first round, unless it's a better opponent. You know, they need mm-hmm. to try to climb a standing so that they don't draw like, you know, a Boston or something like that in the first round, because if you fall enough down in the wild card, you will. But I think they can beat, I think they could beat at least one team. Like I said, I think they're good enough to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I just don't think they will.
That's me as well. I don't want to see that happen yet in my life.
I mean, Madison Square Garden's been around for what, like 60 years, and it's seen three championships.
Yeah,
you like that history? And
that's James Dolan for you. That's a James Dolan effect.
Yeah, three championships between two sports teams.
That's crazy. I was trying to figure out like who's the next one like to that. Damn, that's crazy. Good step by you. Good step by you. Where are you at with the Blue Jackets? Like, are they into the Connor Bedard tanking suites? I've seen the league standings. They're in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. Are you?
Yeah. Here are my thoughts on Connor Bedard.
Fire away.
This is a no cuss show. I won't cuss.
You can cuss. This is the new Upper Bowl podcast. You're allowed to cuss.
Okay. This is a new Upper Bowl podcast. All right.
Yes. It's just me, anyways.
I'm still not going to cuss. I'm going to be respectful when I say that I really don't give a damn about Connor Bedard right now. I know I'm supposed to. I just know deep down that Blue Jackets will not get him. Like, they just won't get him. You know? Like, why am I going to continue to ooh and ah over this player that my team has to win a literal ping pong ball draw to get him?
I feel you.
I don't give a single crap about Connor Bedard until he is a Columbus Blue Jacket. So don't I like the tank for Bedard thing. I mean, obviously that's the only thing they're playing for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they're not. That's the other thing. They're not playing for that. Nobody plays to lose. So no, I'm still watching all the games. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I've watched 80% of the games, 80, 90% of the games, just because I like to watch Johnny Gaudreau, you know?
How's he been for you guys?
Fantastic. He's a phenomenal player. He's missed like zero games, but his scoring's gone down the last few weeks, but that's just because the guy's playing, you know, mm-hmm. 16, 17, 18, 20 minutes every single night, and he's like the only one putting anything worth a damn on the ice.
Yeah. No wonder why he's a free agent in our fantasy hockey league.
Yeah, no, you got no one to pass to because Line A is not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Line A, like, he can get it done. Like, he definitely can. He just needs to
motivate.
He just needs to get hot. Like, he's the same. It seems like he's the same player every night on the ice. Just sometimes his shots fall and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. I think what helps is maybe if you have some other distractors on the ice, like Line A, somebody said this to me around town and I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Line A is the perfect like second line winger, you know? Okay.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Yeah. I totally see that actually.
Because after you get done battling like a first line, like it's that second line that he would, that one timer from the left circle, it's going to be dangerous.
Definitely.
And you know, I mean, he's not Ovechkin. He can't do the other things and then the one-timer. He is pretty much like exclusively just the one-timer and maybe carrying the puck into the zone and to the net. But outside of that, he's just an offensive weapon. That's it. And I think that would be best suited on a second line. So the Blue Jackets got some work that they got to do still. But Kirill Marchenko has been a nice surprise for him. Russian dude who's in his early 20s who is playing his first season in the NHL this year. A lot of talk has been around him. A lot of excitement for Blue Jackets fans. He's been drafted by us for a while, and he's looked good. So there's a little bit of excitement.
The only thing I want right now, I just want the Flyers to just blow it up again. You know like how Buffalo is doing the rebuild part two? I just wish they just do that so then I could just not care.
Like, how are you feeling about Torts so far?
I hate him.
That's fair.
Not because of the Provorov situation. I was like, I saw that. I was like, I'm not gonna get involved in that. I think it was the worst hire they've ever done. They should have just went with like a Luke Richardson type hire and just tank. But the Flyers won't do that. It's all because of the network they have, and Bobby Clark and Paul Holmgren kind of still run the show. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to get these old geezers out of the fucking front office. Let them go back down to Florida and just chill anyways. So I've kind of like, I am pulling my my best of not caring, and I will not watch until Chuck Fletcher gets fired, someone gets fired, or someone sells a team. So I'm kind of like, I'm a grieving widower now of the NHL. So my team, I just don't care for my team anymore. I will not root for another team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, it's tough too because college basketball has just been amazing this year too. I mean, yeah. There's no like runaway team. And I'm the only reason I'm talking about college basketball is because I literally have SportsCenter on and they're showing me just all the sweet threes and dunks from last night.
Only thing I like watching is that University of Miami basketball team with Jim Larrañaga.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's still good. Like I said, it's still good product, still great coverage. I'm hearing less of Leah Hextall this year.
Oh, yes.
Which is a great thing.
Yes.
It's not a great thing. I'll say this. Put her on the bench, okay? Put her on the bench. That's where she is the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she can thrive. That's where she can contribute and say interesting stuff. But for the most part, as a play-by-play commenter, she needs to be done. She needs to be done. She is not good enough to be doing that job at the NHL level. And I'll say that there's other better, more qualified individuals, not just men, women that are more qualified and better to that would do a better job at that role. So if you need to, you know, if you'd like to have a woman just to change it up, you can find one. They are out there. It is not Leah Hextall. And that's not Leah Hextall.
Can I give you one who should have that job instead?
Who's that?
Kate Scott, who does this Philadelphia, who did the NBC one year when they did it all women's broadcast, and she's the play-by-play for the Philadelphia 76ers. She's perfect for that job. She called a good, damn good hockey game anyways.
Yeah, I'd be excited about that. I mean, anything other than Leah Hextall, like no offense to her, but when I turn it on a game and it's her voice, I just mute it. I'm like, I can't do this.
Do you mute the TV and you throw on the radio play-by-play on?
No, I'll just mute the TV because I'm usually – it's never my team that's played by Leah Hextall game. It's always another team, and I'll just watch it. Literally, I'll just watch it. I'll just be like, I'm going to watch this game, muted.
Wonder what I do? Wonder the funny thing I do? That? Whenever she does the Panther game or if there's any – like if Flyers are on, the Panthers go on, and the ESPN Plus and it's Leah Hextall, like, I'm going to go to the game instead.
There you go.
That's how I'll spend my like $75 for a ticket and just like, I'm going to go watch a game so I can just hear the real sounds and just, or I can just put the TV on mute and just throw on Doug Plague. It's a Bill Lindsay. Take me for a ride for some Florida Panthers audio experience.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, speaking of the Florida Panthers, they just also showed the logos for the All-Star game.
Yes.
And let me just say that the All-Star game belongs in a place like Florida.
Can I say any warm weather city?
Yes.
Like, can I give you my five?
I can just guess them, probably, to be honest.
Yeah, go.
I'm going to say Florida, and that's Fort Lauderdale and Tampa.
Yeah, that's one and two.
Los Angeles.
That's my five.
Arizona.
That's my four.
And, Vegas
is my three, actually. I always feel like it's gonna be like now the Super Bowl. Like once Arizona gets their new arena in Tempe, you can have a rotation of, you can also throw Dallas in there when it's nice and stuff. You can have a rotation of like great cities to go party at for a weekend at least.
Yeah. Now granted, I think it should every once in a while go up north because that is cool for the Jackets that we got to host it, but that's literally all it's cool for. Like,
yeah,
you're asking these players to work another weekend, like,
and it's a shitty city, you know,
and it's and they're in freaking Columbus, Ohio. Like,
it could be Raleigh, that's a bad one. People have told me
that's bad, but that's, yeah, that's pretty much just as bad. It sounds better though to people. That's the thing, is like Columbus, Ohio doesn't sound sexy, and it's not. Don't get me wrong, it's not sexy, but
oh no,
it's a great town. But I'm not going to expect an NHL player to come in and be excited about being in Columbus based off the other cities that they travel to, like on a daily basis. So yeah, but anyway, that's a different topic for another day. They're at Fort Lauderdale this year. This was supposed to be the one before COVID, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I do like the throwback All-Star Game jerseys.
Love them. Yeah, no,
I'm probably gonna grab one of them, by the way. So
yeah, I'm gonna hammer the Metropolitan Division.
That's who I like anyways. It's Metropolitan or die. It's when people ask me who you like, it's the Metro. They're gonna win this game somehow. I think it's gonna be Metropolitan and the Central Division.
Dude, the Metropolitan Division is on some shit right now.
Like, they are.
It just is. I mean, it's a competitive division. Even though, like I said, three of the top six teams are in the Atlantic, but just every, I think, what are the, how many teams are in a division now? Eight?
Yeah.
Six of the eight teams are playoff teams, right?
Yeah.
Like potentially playoff teams.
Yeah. As you look at the wild cards, like it's literally like the best three best teams are in the Atlantic, but literally the Metropolitan has like literally have five of the teams in the playoffs, which is crazy.
Jackets and Flyers not making the playoffs, right? Like we're just going to say that, or are the Flyers still?
No, I do not want them to make the playoffs. I really don't.
Okay.
I am very pro non playoffs for the Flyers. They do not deserve my life right now, and I do not want to get hyped up for playoff hockey again, like as I've been ruined by Flyers playoff hockey experience ever since the second lockout of Gary Bettman's career. Well, third. So it's also his 30th anniversary. Where do you rate his commissioner? Because I think he's a C- commissioner.
Yeah, I was gonna say C plus.
No, you're way too nice. He's C- for life.
I mean, he's taken the game to a good level, though, you know. Granted, I think it could be even higher.
Yes.
But that is mostly because it's a great sport. The reason why it's not higher is because it's just not accessible to play for a lot of people, so they don't relate to the game, you know?
Yeah.
So we need to find ways to do that. And Columbus, the Blue Jackets, credit them. They're doing that. They're building some, like, rinks around town, some roller rinks, which is great.
That's good.
I love that. But yeah,
I know the Panthers.
I think he's been all right.
I think he's been average at best. I feel like we deserve better. I know it's been 30 years. I think it's time for
definitely time.
It's really time, because it's when you look at it, they've only gone up. It's like they're still in the 60. They're not even up to a billion yet franchises yet. Which is a shame.
You know what's going on with M&M?
No.
Like the candy?
No. Oh yeah, I saw that. It was wild.
They're going. Can you explain it to me if you know it?
I have no idea. I'm more lost than you, anyways.
Okay. Well, they just put one of the blue M&M on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt or whoever that was. It wasn't Scott Van. I don't think that's on right now.
Jay Harris, maybe.
Yeah, he was having a discussion with one of the sports reporters or anchors with a blue M&M. Like, he was looking across the desk and talking to a blue M&M. And the blue M&M said something like, former M&M spokesperson. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I'm lost. Don't worry, I'm already lost. So
talk about getting opportunities for people and persons that need opportunities in TV, and you're just letting a fictional M&M have the spotlight.
Wild. Just purely wild.
Head scratching.
Yeah.
Head scratching from SportsCenter, who's, yes, you know, as forefront as possible on the social justice train. I think we should call them out.
I think we should too, honestly.
All right. Thank you, Trevor, for having me on the Upper Bowl podcast again. Just follow them along if you like sports or are for some reason listening to this podcast right now and are a Philadelphia sports fan, they do a great job over there covering Philadelphia sports. And of course, they sometimes have me on, so I'm good friends with them. All right, up next, I'm going to talk to Tom. Tom's going to come on the phone. We're going to talk a little bit about the face-off on the ocean. That's next. This is the Hockey Dudes.
Bottle Rockets and Sellies Forever. Welcome back to the Hockey Dudes.
Yes, we are back, and I almost forgot that it was NHL All-Star Weekend, so I'm gonna talk about that a little bit here, and I'm also gonna talk about it with Tom. Tom's in the microwave, but the microwave is off right now, so he's not getting hit by waves.
Low power.
You're on low power?
No, the microwave is.
Okay, yeah. I was just saying it's not on. Does a microwave still have power if it's completely off?
Maybe.
Well, you said we're on low power, so that...
I'm on a microwave that's on low power mode.
Okay, so you're saying the microwave is on. It's just on low, not high heat.
Correct.
Okay, I gotcha. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yeah, I've been microwaving a lot of pizza rolls lately because Mackenzie was gone all weekend, and even though I know how to cook good food for myself, I know how to do it, I still just drop 20 pizza rolls in a plate and just put them in the microwave for at least three meals this past weekend. So
yeah, see, I've been microwaving a lot of spaghetti and meatballs because not this past weekend, 2 weekends ago, I made two whole boxes and two whole batches of turkey meatballs and spaghetti, and I've literally had that for dinner the last 8 nights.
Oh, turkey meatballs, they definitely play, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they always play. I think pretty much the only foods that I ever hear you talk about eating is Italian food, which, you know, checks out.
Yeah, I consume it a lot.
I noticed. Top three Italian restaurants, or no, just your best Italian restaurant in town is?
Oh, geez. I really like Carfagna's in Polaris.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't get paid to say that, by the way. I was really hoping he was going to say Olive Garden. That would have been on brand for you.
Yeah, I mean, they got good breadsticks, but I don't think, their food's good, but I don't think it's anything, to go crazy for.
The only reason people go to Olive Garden in Columbus is to eat their breadsticks for three reasons. They go to eat their breadsticks, they go to sit there and dream about sitting in that table up top that you don't know how people get
absolutely.
To, which you've never seen
absolutely.
People sit there, and it's to get the chocolate mints on the way out.
Oh, those chocolate mints are so good.
Yeah, so that's that alone.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They got good chicken gnocchi soup. I do like that there.
What did you just call it? Chicken gnocchi? I love that.
Yeah.
That's electric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to correct you because you're more Italian than me. So, chicken gnocchi.
I know it's wrong. Oh. I know it's wrong.
Good.
But they got some good soup there. That's about it, though. I mean, they got decent food. That's about it. I'd put Buca di Pepo's over Olive Garden if we're going, chained Italian restaurants.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about that. Buca, for sure, is elite. So, okay, that was good Italian talk.
Especially if you get to sit at the Pope table. That's always pretty cool.
The Pope table? I don't think I've sat at the Pope table. Wow.
They got a party room table where they just have, a paper mache head of the Pope in the middle of the table that spins on a wheel.
Wow. That's
electric.
Yeah, that is pretty electric. Dang. Anyways, I gotta check out the Pope table now. I can't even think about anything else other than the Pope table.
Yeah, we're gonna have to go check that out. Yeah. I really want to get your reaction of this Pope table.
For sure. Gotta check out the Pope table now. Oh,
just
my gosh.
Just two grown men eating Buca di Pepo at the Pope table.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. We're here, but we only want to sit at the Pope table. Well, sir, there's a 3-hour wait for that. That's fine.
That's fine.
We'll sit right here.
We'll go to this hockey game and we'll come right back.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Speaking of hockey games, Tom, we're going to a hockey game kind of soon. The face-off on the ocean is coming up. We're just like 2 weekends away.
2 weekends away. I'm ready to roll.
Yes.
I can't wait. A lot of soda pops are going to be flowing. A lot of bets are going to be slinged. And we're just going to get to watch hockey outside.
Hockey outside. Yeah, that is, man, I just got chills thinking about that. Hockey game outside. You are a big weather guy, and we're within that 2-week window. Have you happened to see what we're going to be dealing with Saturday up there off the lake?
I don't think my radar goes out that far. I can maybe get a quick look.
Let me pull it up as well.
It only goes out to next Wednesday. Mine only goes out to next Wednesday.
Is your radar? Does the radar? Yeah, I know your radar is of course, the map or the app just right there on your iPhone. But let me look up the 14.
No, I use it's a Cleveland weather station.
Interesting.
App.
Okay, well, I'm gonna get on the weather network here and look up the 14 day, and it is Saturday.
Next Wednesday is 59 and rain.
Okay, Wednesday you got
a cold front after that.
Oh, it's giving me this in Celsius? Who the heck uses Celsius? So what I'm seeing here is Saturday, this is according to theweathernetwork.com. Saturday, February 18th. Mistake on the lake. I'm so sorry. That was rude of me.
That's rude.
Yeah, I'll cut that out. Face off on the ocean. That was offensive for two reasons. First of all, calling it a mistake and calling it a lake. Face off on the ocean, 4:00, Ohio State versus Michigan. I'm seeing 0 degrees Celsius during the day. So 32 degrees.
I just got you.
I'll take that. I'll take 32 degrees. That's not that bad. I feel like it could be worse for Cleveland in February.
You just cut out a bunch for me.
Yeah, I said it's going to be 0 degrees Celsius during the day in Cleveland, which is 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
So it'll be freezing.
Yeah, but
like freezing temperatures to freeze water.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I mean, we need the rink to be cold. I don't have a gauge of the wind because we know the wind can drop that ish like 20 degrees if it wanted to. So I got no read on that.
The wind will probably be bustling, so it'll probably be like a solid 25 to 22.
I'm seeing that they're projecting for 37-mile-per-hour winds.
Are you serious?
Yes. Well, okay, 37 kilometer-per-hour winds.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that equates to.
I have no idea what that equates to.
All right, well, we're going to be in it. We're going to be in it, and many of our listeners will be in it. It'll be exciting. So that's going to be fun and good. But, Tom, we haven't done this podcast in 2 months. It's been dormant. It's been bad because no one wants to talk about the Jackets.
22-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, that's pretty. So we'll probably be
pretty bustling.
That's bustling. That's moving for sure. Yeah, I'm probably gonna have to be scarfed up, or maybe just face masked up.
That's fair.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But yeah. So where are we at with the NHL this year? I've enjoyed watching the NHL as a whole from a broad perspective. Again, I kind of would like the Penguins to really just suck, but that's never going to happen. I'll never be able to root for that. They are. They're still in a playoff spot. Yeah, they're not their usual Penguins. They're not their like dynasty Penguins, but they're still in the mix. So that's kind of sucks. And I don't like the Capitals being in the mix either. But I do like rooting for Ovi at this point in his career, and it kind of looks like in a couple of years, he's going to be breaking Waino's record. As long as, you know, knock on wood, I'm rooting for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, sidebar to your first point, I'd rather see the Capitals have success than the Pens.
Oh, of course. Of course. I agree there. So, I just still don't like – I don't like the Capitals as a whole, though.
Agreed.
But
I'm just rooting for the Russian Bear to score a bunch.
Not because he's Russian.
Mm-mm.
Of course not, but just because he's a bear.
Correct. And Sergei Ovechkin.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That little turd.
That little guy skating it up. Oh yeah, that guy. Speaking of him, how are we feeling about how the All-Star weekend went down in Florida? It was 2 years in the making because this was canceled due to COVID, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. At least that's what I said in the last segment.
I was in and out of the skills competition, and I mean, it's just not doing for it. It's just not doing it for me anymore.
Same. Same. I don't think it was ever doing it for me, though.
There was a time where, like, I guess it, like, had some meaning to the All-Star game. Whatever conference scored more points in the skills competition got, I forget what it was. They got, like, some boost in the All-Star game. But, I mean, outside of, like, the accuracy shooting and, like, hardest slap shot, I don't really care about anything else.
Right. It's kind of – All-Star games just kind of – nobody's really looking forward to the – like, nobody in any All-Star game at any point is like, oh, yeah, we got the All-Star game this weekend. You know, like, that never happens. It's just kind of like, we got to do this.
In any sport.
In any sport.
Not just hockey. Yeah.
That being said, I really did like what the Pro Bowl did this past weekend. I did.
Well, personally, I did not like Myles Garrett dislocating his toe, but that's neither here nor there.
It's his pinky toe, though. You can just cut that off. He does not need that.
He needs all 10 toes to be rushing those edges.
Does he? I kind of would like to challenge that. I think he only needs 9.
To be quick.
I think he only needs 8 toes. He's going to be lighter, though, if he just lost it.
You can get away with fingers. You got to have your toes for the jump.
Do you? Your pinky toe? Dude.
Absolutely.
Nah, dude. Your pinky toe is not relevant at all. There's no way.
You need all your toes. Your whole balance is thrown off.
It's thrown. I don't know if it's thrown off. I think immediately you wouldn't be able to adjust to it, but like he could still play in the NFL and be pretty damn effective without his pinky toe.
Yeah, but I don't want to risk that.
Neither do I. I agree. I would rather him have his pinky toe. I can agree with you there. But it is just dislocated and he does have like a million months to get it healed.
Yeah, but it's just more the thought. You were playing a flag football game. What are you doing?
No, he wasn't playing a flag football game. He was in the obstacle course. Like jumping over walls, climbing under these like racks, these like it was very military looking obstacle course, you know?
I didn't watch any of it, so I have no idea.
Yeah. It wasn't the flag football game. Although I did like it watching the flag football game. It was fun. You could tell that the guys were having a lot of fun, you know? Like they all had smiles on their face and it was still competitive because they were competing against each other. So from that part of it, I thought it was interesting. And I think the NHL can learn something from that because I don't think anybody really cares about the games, you know? Like, I mean,
so then what do you, I mean, I'm throwing you on the spot. Like, what would you suggest they do to kind of compete with, like, the NFL just went to this flag football game and it had some success. I don't know what the NHL could do.
Yeah, I think, well, I said that nobody watches the 3-on-3, but I think you can keep the 3-on-3. Maybe even just get rid of divisions at this point. I don't, the divisions thing, I don't know. I mean, I go either way with that. But for
maybe
this,
do like a draft lottery 3-on-3.
Yeah, you could do something like that. Although that's getting into the NBA thing, and I just can't follow that at all. And I would say have them do stuff that hockey players do. Like, let's see them kick the ball around. Do some competition where maybe like two teams are trying to keep the ball in the air as long as possible. That could be interesting, you know, because that's what they do during warmups anyway. So I think that could be fun. I don't know. Just give them stuff to do that.
They did a golf thing during the skills competition. I guess that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but they were just playing. Yeah, they were playing golf on a golf course, and all I did was see Johnny Gaudreau's drive, which was apparently the best, and it went like 100 yards. I was like, okay, I guess that's impressive. I mean, I couldn't sauce it that far. It still didn't look that cool on a golf course, you know? Like golf.
I mean, I don't know if there's any better way they could do it. I guess I did not like, there was a bunch of things they did during the skills competition that were all pre-recorded.
Oh, really?
They
would
cut in and out. They would do like one round of the accuracy shooting, and then they would cut it to one of these pre-recorded events. I just thought it was really choppy and weird.
Yeah, that's lame. That's lame. I didn't catch that, to be honest, but that's really lame. I did wonder, I was like, how are they doing all this? But that makes a lot of sense. They pre-recorded stuff. And, yeah, I just think for the most part, All-Star weekends, you can't really do much with them. But take that idea, NHL, and run with it. The kicking the ball around before. I think that could be interesting. Just mixing in little games just to see these super highly athletic dudes do interesting stuff that, like, normal people do. But I just think that could be interesting, you know, because that's what they did with the Pro Bowl. They had different events that normal people do. Like, they had the wide receivers do all these, like, really cool, like, catching tricks where Kurt Warner was throwing a football off the Eiffel Tower to Justin Jefferson. He dropped all three of them, or he dropped the first two and then caught the third one. Or, like, having Amon-Ra St. Brown go off a diving board and do a flip and catch a ball. He was one for one in doing that because he's a better receiver. And he has better hands. I'm going to say this. He works harder than Justin Jefferson. I'll just say that. I mean, I'm just going to say that. Justin Jefferson, pretty damn good.
I think you're safe just staying in that lane.
Just that lane. He works harder, right?
Just stick with that. Maybe don't dive into he's the best receiver in the league.
He is highly underrated, though, even still. But nonetheless.
He's very good.
Yes.
He's very good.
Right, right. He just doesn't have, like, the natural born talent that that Justin has. I don't know. I don't feel like getting into this anymore. But, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Just do stuff that normal people do. Like, I don't know. Like, play a knee hockey game. That could be cool. Would you like to see Johnny Gaudreau playing a little knee hockey?
What about a little bubble hockey?
Yeah, bubble hockey. Yeah. Hell yeah. Bubble hockey, air hockey. Have him play a broom ball, maybe some of that. I don't know. Do different stuff. I don't really care about I don't care about Connor McDavid hitting all four of the corners and the net. I know he can do that. I don't need to turn on the TV to see him do that. Connor McJesus. He's literally named after the savior of the world. I know he can hit all four corners. Quincy can hit all four corners of the net. It's not impressive. It's really not. I don't know.
The 9 seconds he did it in was impressive.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But do you need to turn on the TV to see that, though?
No. No. No.
You can just watch him do it in a game. You'll score four goals in 9 seconds in a game. He's that good. But yeah, so all right. Well, that was good. We got way over the time here on this segment, and I got to get back to some stuff. And yeah, but any other thoughts? I mean, we haven't talked to you in 2 months about the Jackets, just in general. How you feeling about them?
I mean, I think they've looked a little better the last few weeks. Am I wrong in saying that? At least I feel like they've looked better, or more competitive, I should say.
Yeah, I agree. Blankenberg and Marchenko, adding them to the group was helpful.
Yeah, goaltending is still a big gaping piece of Swiss cheese.
Corpy's played okay.
Corpy's played okay. The other guy has not.
Yeah, the other guy. I don't even want to say his name.
Yeah.
He'd be better off.
But, I mean, I think they've looked better. I mean, you don't want to win too much now at this point. It doesn't do you anything.
We're not getting Bedard. We're not getting him.
But you still want a good pick.
Yeah, you do still want a good pick. They'll get a good pick. They'll be fine.
Like, it doesn't help you if you finish and get the 12th pick.
True. Yeah, the most devastating thing that could happen for the Jackets, although my FanDuel account might disagree with this because I'll be taking the money line, would be them going on a run and like not making the playoffs by like 3 points. That would be the most devastating thing ever.
That kind of didn't help at all.
But my fan, like I said, I would catch that streak and just be betting Jackets money line plus 285 every night. That'd be sweet.
They are money dogs all day.
Money dogs. And if you can catch them on nights where you're like, they're winning tonight, it's pretty electric.
It's got to be a gut feeling.
I think the last two times that you and I both have been like Jackets money line tonight, they've won.
Yeah,
so that's huge.
You just got to pick your moments and nights. It's all gut.
It's all gut. And it's just about being a man, really. Let's be honest. Just man up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid to take Coates' money line. Definitely take them on the over. The over's back. That's good. The over was dead.
Absolutely.
I just think during the holiday season, the Coates were like, we're going to respect, you know, all the gods and goddesses that are worshipped this month, and we aren't going to score goals. We want the attention to be on them and not gambling. So respectfully, I stayed away from the over during the holidays, but the over is so back in 2023, and that's where we're at. And now we got a back-to-back with Toronto Friday and Saturday night. That's over city. Am I wrong?
It absolutely is. Pablo's out, but they still got more than enough guys to score 4 to 5 goals on us.
Coates money line?
They still got a lot of dudes over there.
Hey, we beat the Leafs at home, though. They at least don't win at the Schwied, except for the few times they have.
They are afraid of the Schwied.
Yeah. You trying to go Friday night?
Absolutely they are.
You want to go get in their heads?
I won't be here.
Where are you going? Cleveland?
I'm actually going to be in Medina this weekend, yeah.
Nice. You got anything big going on?
Hang out with the fam. No. We're just going to go hang out with the fam, and then the following weekend is the face-off.
On the ocean. On the ocean. I can't wait.
It's 1,000% an ocean.
Yeah. I mean, you can't look at it and tell me.
With 25-mile-an-hour winds, it's 1,000% going to look like an ocean.
Yeah, it's going to be very oceany. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I hope to see you guys up there. Any listeners, we'll be at the Jack beforehand. That's pregame festivities.
21 and over listeners will be at the Jack.
Yes. Meet us at the Jack and ride our bets. Ride us hard.
We'll be at a table somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere drinking Miller Lights. And yeah, I think when we first talked about going to this game, we talked about maybe doing like a live podcast, but then we're just like, we just pretty much just want a game.
Yeah. And then we also thought about how cold it's going to be.
So cold, dude. Oh, so cold. But that's what the beers are for. And that is also what that's also what the train is for. Don't drive.
Yep. Take your train. Hotel right next to it.
Take your trains or your boats, because you know it is an ocean, so you have that option.
Yeah, and there's rivers.
Yeah. All right, man. Tom, it was great talking to you. Thanks for hopping on. Let's do it again soon, all right, man?
Yeah. I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, see you Sunday.
I thought you were going to say something else. No, tell your dog.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say. Yeah, tell your dog.